This is File 41, Cycle 3. Today's date is July 9th, 2018. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Shafin Sharif, who is one of the proprietors of the Wake Robin Inn. He's going to talk about the Wake Robin and anything else that he chooses. But first, we'll start with... What is your name?
My name is Shafin, and the last name is Sharif.
Sharif. And how did you come to this area?
By the miracle of online. This is, you know, I always like to say that Lakeville, Salisbury are, you know, dial-up in a broadband age, because there's something about that, you know, the pacing, mm-hmm. and just one good step back, you know, from our lives. And so we found a listing for this place on Elise Harney's website when we were searching for inns, Connecticut, sale, and those key words back in, you know, 2001 came up with the Wake Robin, among other properties. Mm-hmm. And then we kept sort of coming back to it in theory because the specs of it seemed, the more we explored the area online, the schools, Lime Rock, the character of the area, what was available online at the time, it was promising, and that's how we came to knock on its doors.
Now, what is your background?
I have a varied background. I was a reporter and an editor in Canada for 10 years, and I worked then for Bank of Montreal, which owns Harris Bank in Chicago, which is how I came to be transferred to Chicago to work for Harris Bank. This was in the 90s, mid-90s. And that's where I met Michael Loftus, who is my business partner, and he had the hotel background. He worked for Hilton Hotels. He worked for the Palmer House, you know, the famed Palmer House in Chicago.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was the resident manager of the Palmer House, you know. So, as he says, 1,600 beds and 1,200 employees.
Good Lord.
Yes.
How large is the property?
The property is you know, completely unique. I mean, it's 11 and a half acres, hilltop. And the inn and the immediate areas, so we use roughly 3.5 acres.
Okay.
For the buildings and for the functions and for the parking.
And how many rooms do you have?
We have a total of 38 rooms.
Do you use the motel?
We do. We use both buildings. This main inn has 23 to 24, 25 rooms because we have a couple of extras.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 15 rooms in that building below, which we call the summer building, because it's open. When we were open year-round, it was only open in the summer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that name for us has stuck. You know, that's our summer building. So we have 15 there, 23 plus in the main inn, for a total of 38.
And when did you actually buy the inn?
April 2002.
And how do you share the responsibilities between you and Michael?
You know, the way we share responsibilities with... everybody on staff, which is to say everybody does as much as they can and everybody as much as they want to, without bringing into it whether they're a proprietor, because we, as I said before, there are no titles here. So it doesn't matter whether you're a proprietor or staff. You have interests, of course,
mm-hmm.
and capabilities and some key responsibilities that you're hired for. But other than that, we don't believe in titles. Everybody just does
their job everybody to the
does.
Best of their ability.
Yes, everybody just does, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of the early history, and we're going to start with Jane Hunter, who ran the hotel from 1914 to 1945.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a quote that she had that you really subscribed to. Would you share that quote with me?
Yes, and I'll give you a little bit of context for that.
Please.
The context for the quote is the business plan for the Wake Robin, because we were applying for financing with banks and such, and we needed a philosophy. I mean, more than just the numbers, we needed a philosophy for the Wake Robin, because that's where it would start. I mean, if you could throw in any numbers you want in a business plan, mm-hmm. and I can say typically, having been in banking, they're meaningless. Okay, they're mostly for getting approvals.
Mm-hmm.
But what's more important is sort of noodling in your head and getting to a place where you know what the place is going to be about. And online we found a quote from Jane Hunter, who I believe was also involved with the school.
Yes, she was.
Yes, in some fashion. And she was always referred to as Miss Jane Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So we never knew that she was married because it was just the way she was. And when we found it online, we thought, that is it. And I'm going to read it for you. The Wake Robin is a rather unusual hotel for people seeking comfortable beds and peace. The hospitality is the kind a capable hostess sets before friends in a relaxed and pleasurable atmosphere.
And that's what you do.
And that's exactly what we do. We don't have an operating manual. We mm-hmm. go purely by making the stay as comfortable and pleasurable for the guests as possible. And it is unbelievable how, when you remove the barriers for the guests, i.e., you know, it's the administrative structure of an organization sets the tone. And if you have layers, mm-hmm. that actually gets in the way of the customer. But if you don't have layers, and we don't,
mm-hmm.
then everything becomes meaningful for the guest. You know, nobody has, unless they really don't know the answer, the staff never have to say, let me check with the manager, because there is none. And they
yes.
don't have to check. So you see the directness that occurs when somebody needs something or wants something.
But they all have to buy into this same philosophy.
Yes, we're small, though. I mean, we're 5 to 7 core staff.
Oh, okay.
For our operating season, mm-hmm. 7 months, April through October, early November. And that works for the staff.
Good.
That works because a lot of them have other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have flexibility of scheduling.
Yeah.
And the way we work, people fill in case somebody can't work.
Okay.
And so that flexibility is a mindset, and it fits.
It would fit. And with a small staff, it would fit.
It
well.
Would fit. It would fit. And I mean, last night we finished after a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Tom and Sharon Fitzpatrick? Nine Elm Street, their house. Their daughter got married, Judy, and their guests were here. I mean, mm-hmm. they were the main group. And then after, it was a great group. And then afterwards, you know, it was a busy weekend. We filled the place, and afterwards we all went out for dinner.
Oh, good.
You know, so that we have that kind of
that's a good
camaraderie.
Relationship.
Yes.
It makes a great deal of difference.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because I would imagine that your staff stays as long as they can.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and they, the one thing we found, too, is that they're mostly, it's a mature staff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, temperamentally and physically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they work tremendously hard,
mm-hmm.
and that's made all the difference. And some of them, you know, live in Torrington, which is 35 minutes one way, 35
yeah.
minutes the other way.
Yeah.
But we think they enjoy it, you know, knock wood.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Well, if the working conditions are such that you want to stay, you do stay. You have to have good working conditions in order to keep your staff.
Yes. I mean, so anybody listening to this... it sounds, you know, it sounds relaxed, but in order to reach that state of relaxation for the guest, you have to
put in a lot of work.
Yeah, you have to work in twice as much.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So and not everybody's built for that.
No. No. Hospitality is a very transient.
Yes. But, you know, the thing that saves us is, apart from Michael, none of us are from hospitality.
That would make a difference because you don't have the mindset.
We don't have a mindset. We don't have the impediments. We don't say, well, I worked for so-and-so and this is how we did it. Or this is, I worked for, you know, this other property in town and I never had to do that.
Ah.
We never say that because we don't know that.
Ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
It's completely bliss. Yeah, it's very, we are candides.
Yes,
know?
Very definitely.
Yes.
Best of
and
all possible worlds.
Yeah, we cultivate our garden, you know, at the end. So that's how it works.
Oh, I love it. I love it. After Jane Hunter, there was Mrs. Chamberlain, mm-hmm. and she was from 1945 to 1977, mm-hmm. and her philosophy was antiques, wine, and the views.
Right.
And you pointed out to me that if the trees hadn't grown up, mm-hmm. you could see clear through to Salisbury School for Boys.
Yes, there are postcards. Because we didn't have any mementos left by the previous owner, or owners, we had to go online, and we found them online. We found memorabilia for the Taconic School for Girls. It's mm-hmm. miraculous,
mm.
you know, on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Postcards, and we put up the postcards on the walls as prints, mm-hmm. So that our guests would have a sense of history, and mm-hmm. we would be
good.
Reminded of the history at the same time.
Oh.
I lost my train of thought there.
That makes me feel better.
Well, I was just getting at the views, you know, in the postcard, and you asked about that. Yes, in one of the postcards, the two peaks are the Wake Robin and the Salisbury School, you know, like that.
Wonderful.
And then in the front, if you imagine the trees cut down, mm-hmm. and then it's Mount Riga. So I think...
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think...
So you've got the triangular peaks, actually.
You do. Yeah, you do. And it's tempting, but it's an off, you know. But the flip side of that is the forest has its own peaceful...
Oh, yes.
Yes, without the... It's a forest view, and then the forest has its benefits the way that it looks now, our surroundings, because you're always reminded that you're in the way of nature.
And you wouldn't want to look at this area when it was in the height of the iron industry, when all of the trees were cut. And they were cut in a 40-mile radius, and there were no trees. So this is prettier.
Well, and in the day and age of, you know, climate change and global warming,
you want trees.
More trees the better.
Oh, yeah.
Trees the better. So I think that's what we just think that the trees are also, by the way, the trees are also attractive and necessary, we believe, for birds, because you can
yes.
see the birds.
Yes.
And occasionally we'll have guests comment on how they were woken up by a bird song,
you know,
in the morning.
And I think there's been psychological studies that if you are in a green space, mm-hmm. you're more relaxed,
mm-hmm.
and it's
mm-hmm.
it's a much mm-hmm. more meditative area.
Yes.
So you're doing fine by keeping the trees. I'm very impressed.
Well, I think we're doing fine, and we're doing fine. And this is not something we thought of, but something that we realized is that by having the forest and the trees and the bird populations, it keeps the insects away, so we don't use pesticides
yeah.
on the property.
Yeah, and that's good too, because you're not putting chemicals out.
No, the birds do it for us.
Oh, good.
Know? Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's all virtuous.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Virtue has its own rewards.
Yes.
In 1977, mm-hmm. Tor Olsen had the property
yes.
for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to Henry Monacero mm-hmm. in 87, and he had it for about 9 years. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. it went into foreclosure at that point.
Yes.
And it was put out to bid, and Tor Olsen mm-hmm. and Dean Hammond mm-hmm. both bid, but Tor got it, and he ran it from 1996 until you and mm-hmm. Michael bought it in 2002.
Yes.
If I got that
mm-hmm.
right.
Yes.
Now, when you purchased it, mm-hmm. did you do any renovating?
Well, so here's the thing. We bought it as owner-operators,
mm-hmm.
and we had some capital, but we also told ourselves that we would be, you know, disciplined enough to do renovations slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we thought that the building came with so much history that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
We knew some, but not everything.
Yeah.
And if we came in and went the gangbusters, we would make a wrong decision.
Yeah.
So we had to live with it first.
That's wise.
Yeah, in order to see what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that a lot of it, the rooms were good-sized,
mm-hmm.
The owners prior had done the work. I mean, you know, all their private baths in each room. So it's not a bed and breakfast. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's more like a small hotel. And that we would do it cosmetically and systematically as things came in. So We're sitting right now on the back side, on the upper deck. Mm-hmm. There's a middle deck and a lower deck, three levels, and we built that. Mm-hmm. And we extended that out. Because even then, I think we wanted to do functions.
Oh, sure.
And weddings and things like that. And so we needed the infrastructure, and we needed the outdoor space. The indoor space was already here.
Yeah, you needed to extend it.
We needed the outdoor space. And so that's what we did. That's the main thing we did that attracted people completely. But it took us 10 more years to actually break down walls. For instance, this wall that had been here for 100 years, we think, that gave us access to the upper deck mm-hmm. from the bar area. Mm-hmm. And then a wall that divided the restaurant and the living room and the living space came down, which gave us a more expansive first floor. And that first floor, that freedom of movement for guests works
wonders. Open space.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and all the doors, we added French doors everywhere, and all the doors connect inside and out, so it's a loop. You know, people are never far from each other, and yet they have different spaces to hang out in as they would like. So that works wonderfully for guests.
Oh, yes.
Groups, for groups.
Because they can flow.
They can flow. Yeah, they can flow and they can float very mm-hmm. easily. They're mm-hmm. not impeded by us or the walls.
I was amazed to come into this facility and see that it's no longer white.
Mm-hmm.
You've changed the paint and you've changed the windows.
And we changed the windows, yep. Right. Yes, yep. Yes. One of the practical, there's always something. And one of the practical things was a white building. There were two considerations. The white paint after a winter, whenever we came back, was always a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You know, and we would spend, you know, multitude of days touching it up with the white.
Oh, yeah.
And being up, on a hilltop, you get spider webs and you get other things.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through a book of colors and we went through pastels and, you know, colors that we saw in the area.
Yeah.
And then we went a little bit broader in New England, and we did find the historic gray and that existed, you know. And then we went about finding it as a match, and we found it in a Benjamin Moore color called Kendall Charcoal. But we didn't, the Benjamin Moore finish was not good. And so when we did more research, we found out that the White House is painted with not the paint color, but the paint finish is Sherwin-Williams Duration. And so we took that Benjamin Moore color and had Sherwin-Williams match it. And then as soon as the paint can opened, we knew that was it, because compared to the thinness of Benjamin Moore, the Sherwin-Williams was milkshake.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, difference between water and milkshake.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And it gave you a totally different finish. Mm-hmm. You know, it sealed the building.
Yeah.
But we also, we have pictures, you know, we actually took huge chunks of the wood out and replaced it, because we thought if we were going to paint it, mm-hmm. we needed to fix,
yeah.
you know,
you
the
have
boards,
to have a good base.
The boards, yes. And so that's what we did. And it the bulk of it took about 4 months, and then it continued for, you know, off and on and off for a year, and there's still about 5% to do, but for all intent and purposes, it's mostly done.
And it looks wonderful.
Oh, thank
you. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
With the white building, it sort of looked like an iceberg
mm-hmm.
perched on a mountain.
Yes.
With this color, it's settled.
Mm-hmm.
It's settled into its environment, and it looks more like it belongs.
Yes, because it matches the ledge.
Yeah,
we're up
yeah.
on ledge.
Yeah,
and so when you stand back and you see the exposed rock,
mm-hmm.
and then you see the gray.
Yeah, it settles it.
Yes,
it does settle it.
Yes, and it gives it also paradoxically gives it a certain modernity.
Oh yeah,
because the gray and the white are very very modern, you know, mm-hmm. and minimal almost, and it gives you that you know what people call Victorian steampunk. You know, gives you the metallic industrial revolution. You know, the gray finish
right.
gives you a slightly metallic look to fix it even more in those times.
Interesting. Now, you told me various ways in which your inn was different from the others in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was the concierge desk. You don't have one?
Well, we have a concierge desk. What we don't have is check-in.
Ah.
I mean, people assume our desk is a check-in, but it's not. Our philosophy is we have a pretty good idea of the guest demographic because we do groups. Mm-hmm. So they're tied usually to a group or two mm-hmm. when staying with us. And so the trick is when they come through the door, A, to have the doors wide open.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yes, and a couple of guests, I would say 98%, but 2% of guests are freaked out, you know, mm-hmm. by the open doors
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
You know, at nighttime, you know, because we're in the summer.
Ooh.
Yeah, because there's nothing, I mean, there's no reason for people can come and go as they like. You know, the whole idea is for people to come in because we're here. It's not as if it's unattended.
Yeah.
But there's nothing dangerous about it. Because we have lights, we have a backlit building, so
you're
welcome. And then around 10 o'clock, we close it. We close the doors. But the whole idea is that from the time you enter, you flow through the building as mm-hmm. opposed to stopping and standing in line and checking in for why? Because, I mean, it makes no sense. You've mm-hmm. already paid.
Yeah.
We already have all your information. So our business is to identify you. We can ask for your name, certainly,
mm-hmm.
but you know, through a process of attrition as people check in, it becomes easier and easier about who is whom.
Sure.
And so that's what we do. We kind of mentally psych ourselves up for identifying guests
sure.
very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tell them, you know, the check-in, check-out will be as easy as check-in.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to stand in line because we don't, by and large, we don't do incidental charges.
Okay.
So bottled water is complimentary. Wi-Fi throughout the property is complimentary, which is, you know, they expect anyway, but it is. We
mm-hmm.
have snacks on the bar and mm-hmm. dark chocolate and things. They can help themselves. There's nothing to that. I mean, they don't have to worry about, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And it all, and I, it's not even a question of, you don't start from a mindset of, you know, well, some occasionally when we say that to people, they say, well, don't people steal that, you know, all this.
You're not going to have a mindset like that.
If, yes, you never do. Because we have, you know, upstairs on our floors, we have all the amenities that you find in your bathroom and the rooms. We have them in the hallways in baskets so that people can take them. The whole idea is not to have, like, locked doors and, you know, this one's not, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You just, if you feel like it and you need it, as you define it, you just take it. I mean, that's the mentality, you know, for it. So we don't charge people for extras, and we don't charge people, by and large, for wine or beer.
That's rare.
Well, because it's part of
the service.
Yeah, it's part of the service. You know, to charge somebody $5 for a bottle of beer or $8 for a glass of wine as an extra cost, so that 3 weeks from now they open up their statement and see that.
And it's not what they expected.
And it's not what they remember. They have long forgotten that they had this thing. A, we don't want them to stand in line to mm-hmm. sign off on that charge. Because then that would be the last memory they had.
Yeah, I know. Been there, done that.
That is not a memory we want.
No.
The last memory is they had a complimentary continental breakfast that was fairly expansive. We encouraged them to take chocolate and bottled water for the road, because mm-hmm. a bottle of water would be the first stop they would make
mm-hmm.
when they left here. So they don't have to stop at a gas station or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They can help themselves. That's what we want. You know, we want them.
You want good memories.
We want good, unobtrusive memories. You know, even if you know, our service proposition was not what they expected, or they prefer more of a hotel, and some guests do,
mm-hmm.
They can't fault us for doing what we do.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That's the idea.
And I asked you about telephone calls, and you looked at me and said, but we have the internet. And it's like, I'm still older generation and still use telephone. But there again, in this generation, more people do emails and texting than they pick up the phone.
We get 2 bars of service, which is more than enough for people to make phone calls if they need it.
Yep.
You know, we let people know that the front desk is attended, you know, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that it's not attended thereafter, but
mm-hmm.
those are the core hours.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it does set expectations. And we're always on property during the season. So we don't leave. And I think that makes a big
difference. It does make
too.
A big difference.
Yes.
When you check out, mm-hmm. yes, you don't stand in line. Where do you leave your room key?
Wherever you want. You can leave it in your room or at the desk.
Okay.
We're not particular about it. I mean, it's a key. It's useless to them if they take it, because they can never use it elsewhere.
Is it a key or is it one of these slot things?
No, we decided not to do a credit card slot system,
good.
Which malfunctions. Because if it malfunctioned and they were at the lower building, they would have to come all the way back.
Yep.
Or even if they were on the third floor, they would have to come all the way down to say, my key doesn't work. And I've had that happen to me in other hotels.
It's a pain.
I've seen people experience that. And no, a plain old-fashioned key. As technological as we all are.
It's nice to have a key.
It's nice to have a key. And it's a physical embodiment of who we are.
Yeah.
So that's the idea.
Now, you don't serve meals.
No, we did.
I know you did.
Yeah.
What about breakfast?
We do. We do a continental. There's a breakfast room right there. And we do a very nice continental. Because, you know, we have to be aware of gluten-free, paleo, vegan. We have to be aware of all of that. And thankfully, now you can purchase and make things fairly easily that accommodate that spectrum, and people never have to ask.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Do you have any transient trade, or is it primarily groups?
We do have transient guests. I mean, midweek, you will get transient guests. But weekends, it's largely groups and intentionally. Because it's really not conducive and it's not fair to a guest that, you know, a couple, let's say, that wants to get away for a weekend and then arrives and sees
a
function
group.
Going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's intimidating.
Yes, it's intimidating. As even if they never experience noise, it's a way of segregating them that they feel that they don't belong.
Yeah.
And it's just a dynamic that's present, that would be present. So we will leave rooms unbooked rather than book a couple. And if we sense that it is a romantic getaway, you know, during a busy time, we will be frank with them about the group that we have. And direct them to the other properties in the area. We direct people to other properties all the time because we don't compete with them for restaurants. The other properties, by and large, have restaurants to fill on top of rooms.
Yeah.
And so while we compete with them on rooms, we don't compete with them on rooms for transient or leisure guests, which is completely 180 degrees from the model of hotels. But that's important for us to differentiate. And then we don't compete with them for a restaurant, and we don't compete with them for off-season lodging, because, you know, we pick up the phone during business hours when we're not here off-season, thanks to technology. So we're forever directing people to other properties.
So you're closed from, like, November until May?
Through March, and then sometime in April we come back. Mm-hmm. And that dovetails with the Lime Rock season. The way we work is that we unlike other properties, we give priority to the schools, especially Hotchkiss, and primarily Hotchkiss, I should say.
Yeah.
And Lime Rock, and so we go out of our way religiously a year in advance to figure out what their calendar looks like for the coming year, and protect those weekends for them. Before we book others. And if there's a doubt or we're not completely sure, we will hold off booking that weekend. And we've experienced losses on weekends where we assumed it was a Lime Rock or a Hotchkiss, and then it wasn't, you know, because some days change.
Things change.
But that's okay. In this large scheme of things, doing what we do allows us to have about half of our revenues recur. Thanks to Hotchkiss.
They return.
So it may not be the same guest, but it would be the same event or the same group.
Like a reunion.
Weekend,
or
a large car event or anything like that. Yeah. So in that sense, the cost of doing our strategy is completely manageable because it gives us the solid base that each year when we leave at the end of the season, we know half our year is already booked.
Oh, that's good.
And often more than half.
Yeah. Is this a destination for weddings?
It is a destination for weddings, but I think people have figured out that it's a destination for wedding guests for celebrations that are elsewhere, because we're agnostic on how or whether people take the whole place for on-site weddings plus rooms, mm-hmm. and I gather other properties are more determined, shall we say, that people can only stay there if they celebrate there. We are agnostic. So while we're happy to do on-site weddings, mm-hmm. if people are getting married at Lion Rock, which is a big draw for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And they need the extra space for their friends and family. Mm-hmm. We're more than happy to book them and not hold out for an on-site wedding. Well, once we fill the 50% with our core local groups, Lime Rock and Hotchkiss, those clients, because we consider, even though people come for Lime Rock and Hotchkiss, the guests are not our true client. Our true client is Hotchkiss and Lime Rock, mm-hmm. you know, because we have to be good enough for them to know through their guests.
Sure.
So given that core core business, mm-hmm. then after that, it's first come, first serve for groups. They don't have to get married on site.
Okay. Plans for the future? Or are you just going to stay as you are?
I think you know, three, four years ago, we found the groove. We found a groove that will work for us for a while, mm-hmm. which is the seasonality of it. And people say, oh, you know, how relaxing in the off season. You know, you get to go away. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we get to go away, but it's, I wouldn't call it exactly relaxing, because we still work 7 days a week, yeah. and wherever we are in the world, we work 9 to 5, 9 to 6 Eastern time. Mm-hmm. That's the agreement among all of us. So we're always accessible, and you know, from the point of view of the guest, they never know we're away.
I found that out because when I emailed you in February,
yes.
thinking that I would not get anything, and I got an immediate response.
Yep, we're.
And that surprised me, and it pleased me very much.
That's what we have. That's what we do.
Yeah,
we,
you know, but I didn't know that.
Right. Right. Yes.
You know,
yes,
so it was it was a new experience for me.
Yes.
And it was a delightful experience, particularly because I didn't expect it.
Well, okay. So here I'm going to give a shout out to technology. Because only a few years ago, we would not have been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And now, we each are armed with an iPhone, iPad, and some of us, MacBooks. Mm-hmm. So that in all those three devices, things pop up at the same time, be it a phone call, an email, or a text.
Yeah.
So thank you, Apple. Because, you know, because what you do on one device, you can do on the other device. So we thank technology for that. And, you know, we can put Do Not Disturb and go to voicemail after 6 o'clock Eastern time in the off-season. Mm-hmm. So that works really well. And, it, you know, let's say we've booked a wedding group at Lion Rock Farm or even a wedding on site. Those clients, when they've booked us as a block, mm-hmm. still have questions.
Sure.
They're planning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're not in their off-season. They're planning for mm-hmm. their coming year. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we be as responsive to them as we were to you, without skipping a beat. And then also their guests who might be booking around the same time. So we're responding to you in tandem with responding to a lot of things at the same time. So it works out really well.
It does.
Yeah, it works out really well.
And it does form a very good impression to get an immediate response. Mm-hmm. Rather than a delayed response.
Right. And when we get inquiries for because we're closed and not everybody realizes that, or they don't read the website closely enough, we immediately give them websites of our competitors and, mm-hmm. you know, say, if you're looking for this, try this. If you're looking for this, try this. You know, so it's a very detailed response that we give to them, you know. So hopefully we make friends with the other properties too, you know.
Anything I haven't covered that you'd like to add to this before we close?
Maybe something about the community, I think.
Please.
I think. I mean, you know, you looked at me when I said we leave our doors open. You know. We're up on a hilltop. But one reason we can do that, I think, is a tribute to the community. I mean, people are forever surprised that things are as peaceful and, you know, pleasurable and relaxing to come back to Miss Hunter not hear because they haven't experienced us when they come in, but they feel it before they get here. On their way here, they start to feel it, you know. And so, you know, the community becomes a form of protection for what we do, and a mirror of what we do. So we think we're in tandem with, you know, but that doesn't, you know, often some properties are wonderful, but then you step outside and
you're right on a main street.
Yeah, you're right on a main street. But here, the setting reflects the community.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. And so that mirroring that goes on is, it helps us, it helps the community, it sets the tone for the guests who go out to dinner, because if they're relaxed here, when they go out to the boathouse or the woodland or Manadu or anything like that, they bring that relaxation
with them,
you know. Yeah.
Which you've encouraged.
Which we've encouraged, right.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you.